Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for Friday, May 3rd, 2024. FTC clears ExxonMobil to acquire Pioneer by Mella McEwen, oil editor. ExxonMobil announced that the company has received clearance from the Federal Trade Commission to complete its $60 billion acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources. The deal is expected to close Friday. However, ExxonMobil has agreed not to add former Pioneer Chief Executive Officer Scott Sheffield to its board of directors after the FTC raised allegations that Sheffield had colluded with the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and affiliated countries to raise oil prices. We learned about these allegations from the Federal Trade Commission. They are entirely inconsistent with how we do business, an ExxonMobil spokesperson told the Reporter Telegram by email. In fact, following its comprehensive investigation and after ExxonMobil submitted more than 1.1 million documents, 1.5 million lines of production and sales data, over 63,000 contracts, and additional communications in response to the FTC's request, the commission raised no concerns with our business practices. The spokesperson added that the integration of Pioneer's leadership and employees will be key to accelerating the merger synergies. We are excited for Rich Dealy, current Pioneer CEO, to take a leadership role in the combined Permian business, and for Maria Dreyfus, current Pioneer board member, to join the ExxonMobil board effective May 3rd. Our goal remains the same, to bring together the best of both organizations to recover more resource, more efficiently, and with lower environmental impact, the spokesperson wrote. In a statement, Pioneer Natural Resources said it disagreed with and is surprised by the FTC's complaint, saying that his record and statements on matters of public interest should disqualify him from serving on the ExxonMobil Board of Directors. Notwithstanding, Pioneer and Sheffield are not taking any steps to prevent the merger from closing. As he has for his entire career, Sheffield is electing to place the interests of investors, employees, and the competitive health of the U.S. energy industry ahead of his own. At the same time, Pioneer stated Sheffield and Pioneer believe that FTC's complaint reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of the U.S. and global oil markets and misreads the nature of and intent of his actions. The company continued to defend Sheffield, stating it was neither the intent nor an effect of his communications throughout his career to circumvent the laws and principles protecting market competition. On the contrary, he focused on legitimate topics such as investor feedback on independent oil and gas company growth and capital reinvestment frameworks, unfair foreign practices that threaten to undermine U.S. energy security, and through dialogue with government officials, the need to sustain a resilient, competitive, and economically vibrant oil and gas industry in the United States. His insights come from having lived through six industry downturns where OPEC and OPEC Plus have oversupplied the market, causing substantial turmoil for U.S. independents, including Pioneer, small private energy companies, and other important parts of the U.S. economy, requiring them to significantly curtail drilling activity, lay off employees, refinance debt, and/or declare bankruptcy, among other actions. AAA gas price fluctuation possible through May by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Warmer weather has increased demand and prices for fuel in most parts of Texas, according to AAA. Although the Texas state gas price average increased by 5 cents, Midland saw no change to its weekly gas prices, which remained at $3.29 this week. With the onset of warmer weather, consumers are hitting the roads more frequently, leading to an uptick in fuel consumption. However, this surge in demand may also translate into potential price fluctuations in the coming weeks, particularly as the historically busy Memorial Day travel period approaches, AAA reported Thursday. AAA stated that fluctuating gas prices could remain through the next month. Fuel price fluctuations remain possible throughout May, AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbuster stated. Demand for fuel is increasing as the weather warms, and that can mean higher fuel prices. especially as the busy Memorial Day travel period approaches. Gas prices in West Texas fluctuated this week. In cities like Amarillo and Abilene, gas prices increased by more than 10 cents. In El Paso, the average gas price increased by 15 cents. However, gas prices in Lubbock dropped by a penny. Midland saw no change to its gas prices, and gas prices in Odessa decreased to $3.26. The cheapest gas in the state is found in Lubbock, and the most expensive is in Dallas at $3.44. The national average gas price was $3.67 on Thursday. Heavy rain leads to flooding in southeast Texas. Associated Press, Houston. Torrential rain caused flooding Thursday in southeastern Texas, and officials in one county were asking residents to leave. A storm system dumped heavy rain in Montgomery County on the northern edge of Harris County in Houston. Officials in Montgomery County issued a voluntary evacuation order and said roads were closed because of flooding along the San Jacinto River. The area generally got about 5 to 8 inches of rain within 24 hours, but some spots saw 10 to 12 inches of rain, said National Weather Service meteorologist Haley Adams. More rain was expected through Friday morning. No injuries or deaths had been reported, Adams said. The Weather Service warned that flash flooding was expected in Houston, including at Bush Intercontinental Airport. The San Jacinto River Authority closed Lake Conroe in Montgomery County because of high water levels and was releasing water from the dam that created the reservoir. County officials warned that downstream flooding is imminent as water is released. Emergency management officials said the area could see flooding similar to that caused by the remnants of Tropical Storm Imelda, which dumped more than 40 inches in some locations in 2019. MISD employee ousted following end-of-year sports banquet by BK Richter, staff writer. An employee has been ousted following an Abel Junior High end-of-year sports banquet on Wednesday. Midland ISD offered its apologies to families and athletes who were in attendance during the banquet in a statement sent to the Reporter-Telegram. While this is a personnel matter that is under investigation, we can share that the individual is no longer an employee of the district. The statement reads, school administrators, coaches, and district staff will be supporting students to ensure a seamless learning experience and end to the athletic season. The banquet was held at the Bush Convention Center, which was the same location as the arrest of the Midland ISD Athletic Department employee, Derek Doss, 24, of Midland. Doss was arrested at 7:40 p.m. Wednesday on a misdemeanor charge of public intoxication by the Midland Police Department. No other information has been released at this time. Abortion Still Consuming Politics, Courts 2 Years After Leak, by Jeff Mulville Hill, Associated Press. 2 years after a leaked draft of a U.S. Supreme Court opinion signaled that the nation's abortion landscape was about to shift dramatically, the issue is still consuming the nation's courts, legislatures, and political campaigns, and changing the course of lives. On Wednesday, a ban on abortion after the first 6 weeks of pregnancy, often before women realize they're pregnant, took effect in Florida, echoing laws in 2 other states. In Arizona, meanwhile, lawmakers voted to repeal a total ban on abortion dating back to 1864, decades before Arizona became a state. Also this week, the Kansas legislature increased funding for anti-abortion centers, while advocates in South Dakota submitted the required number of signatures for a ballot measure to enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution. The status of abortion in states across the country has changed constantly, with lawmakers passing measures and courts ruling on challenges to them. Currently, 14 states are enforcing bans on abortion at all stages of pregnancy, with limited exceptions. Most dramatic-led states, meanwhile, have taken steps to preserve or expand access. Some of it's exactly what we knew would happen, said David Cohen, a professor at the Thomas R. Klein School of Law at Drexel University, who studies abortion policy. And others have been big surprises that have put, frankly, the anti-abortion movement on their heels. Although more than 20 states have begun enforcing abortion bans of varying degrees since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022, studies have found that the number of monthly abortions nationally is about the same or higher than it was before the ruling. Asked to weigh in on the emotional debate, voters have supported the position favored by abortion rights advocates on all 7 statewide ballot measures since then. The Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case was released officially on June 24, 2022, upending nearly 50 years of abortion being legal nationwide. But the world caught a glimpse of it about 6 weeks earlier, on May 2nd, after a news outlet published a leaked draft. With the Dobbs decision, the will of the people is now able to be adhered to, says Stephen Billy, Vice President of State Affairs for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. He said abortion rights supporters have amplified uncertainty in laws, especially over whether abortion is allowed in medical emergencies. They've tried to sow political division just to advance their policy agenda, he said. At the time, Politico published the leaked draft, Amanda Zaroski was undergoing fertility treatment and was about 2 weeks away from learning she was finally pregnant. The Austin, Texas woman had always supported abortion rights and was mad that the right to abortion was on the verge of disappearing, but she didn't expect a direct impact in her life. That changed months later when she was denied an abortion despite a premature rupture of membranes. That changed months later when she was denied an abortion despite a premature rupture of membranes, which can lead to dangerous internal bleeding. Days later, she was diagnosed with sepsis, a life-threatening reaction to infection. Her daughter Willow was ultimately aborted, but Zaroski nearly died in the process because of the delay. She emerged from the experience as an activist. I thought I would be a new mom with a newborn, she said in an interview. Instead, I was in Tallahassee, Florida, meeting the vice president. Located in former movie theater at Music City Mall by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Urban Air Adventure Park boasts of being the ultimate indoor adventure park and destination for family fun. Our parks feature attractions perfect for all ages and offer the perfect destination for unforgettable kids' birthday parties, exciting special events, and family fun, according to the company's website. And now the expansion into the former Regal Permian Palace inside Music City Mall, located in Odessa, is planned to be a part of that continued experience as well. A groundbreaking ceremony for Urban Air Odessa and the Little Gym Odessa is slated for May 13th at 1 p.m., inside the old movie theater in the Odessa Music City Mall. We are now at the finish line, said Music City Mall General Manager Greg Morgan during a phone interview with the reporter Telegram. We are very happy that we struck a deal with Urban Air to start their new facility. While Morgan could not confirm all the details of the planned expansion into Odessa, he said that he had seen the drawings and artist renderings for the park. It will be a unique staple designed for adults and children to enjoy, Morgan commented. We are doing our best to be done via the construction work, Morgan explained. No other details nor a timeline of the facility opening could be confirmed with Urban Air Adventure Park. While we are excited to share all the announcements about the Urban Air Odessa Adventure Park opening, we are not able to do so at this time, wrote Gina Marie Soto, an owner of Urban Air Midland Adventure Park, in an email message to the reporter Telegram. Details about the facility are expected to be released in the next several weeks. Reader's Choice Voting Round Begins Monday by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. The Reporter Telegram's Reader's Choice voting period will begin at 8 a.m. on May 6th. The Reader's Choice program is an annual event designed to recognize and celebrate the favorite businesses, services, and professionals in the Midland community. This year's program is broken up into three phases: the nomination round, the voting round, and the publication of the Reader's Choice magazine, which honors the winners in each category. The nomination round opened on April 2nd and will close at 10:59 p.m. on May 3rd. The voting round begins at 8 a.m. on May 6th. The five finalists who receive the most nominations in the nominations round from each category will be included in the voting round. Voters are allowed to cast one vote per category per email address. In 2023, the Reporter Telegram received over 120,000 votes in the voting round. More than 350 Midland area businesses have participated in the program in the last 3 years. This MRT's Reader's Choice program has become a cornerstone program that not only engages our readers deeply, but also significantly boosts the visibility of local businesses across our community, General Manager Robert Granfelt said. Mary Swindle, 914, 1934 to 419, 2024. Mary officially answered God's call to home on Friday, April 19th, 2024. She will be missed immensely by everyone, but her selflessness, generosity, loving smile, and words of wisdom will never be forgotten. Brenda Sue Cruz Iskra, age 64 of Midland, passed away surrounded by loved ones Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. There will be a visitation and viewing held on Friday, May 3rd, 2024 at Harper Funeral Home in San Angelo, Texas from 5 to 7 p.m. Funeral services will be held on Saturday, May 4th at 2 p.m. in the First Baptist Church of Big Lake, Texas. Pastor Byron Bittner will officiate. A burial will follow at Glen Rest Cemetery in Big Lake. Raymond C. Gonzalez, Jr., 69 of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Viewing will be Saturday, May 4th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, May 5th, 2024 from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street, Midland, Texas. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, May 6th, 2024 at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial to follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Manuel Villanueva of Presidio passed from this life on April 24th, 2024 in Crane, Texas. A viewing will be held Friday, May 4th, 2024, beginning at 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral will be held on Saturday, May 4th, 2024, 11 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home, with burial immediately following in American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. And Natalia Munoz Heredia, 92 of Midland, passed away on Monday, April 29th, 2024. Viewing will be Monday, May 6th, 2024 from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Tuesday, May 7th, 2024 at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Dwight King, 59 of Midland, passed away on Sunday, April 28, 2020. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, May 4th, 2024 at 1 p.m. at Focus Care of Midland, 2000 North Main Street, Midland, Texas. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
Love versus hate is an age-old dilemma. The friction between love and hate has been ongoing since humanity first appeared, and it's only intensifying with all the wars and political malice around the world. God is love. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Love your enemies. The Bible is emphatic on this subject. Yet there are things that it is appropriate for the Christian to hate. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 says, God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. The Reverend's Johnny Touchstone and Vonnie Taylor say it is a complicated question. There are things we should hate because God hates them, but as people, we should love everybody, says Reverend Touchstone, pastor of Vine Baptist Church. I don't say it's easy. We should be led by the Holy Spirit and realize, as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Touchstone said, it is particularly hard to love someone who is very unloving. They are just lost, he said. The question is, are we acting the way we're supposed to act? Jesus preached on it in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hate somebody, it's the same thing as killing him. It makes you a murderer. Touchstone said he took in a young man into his home for 2 years, but was forced to turn him out after a severe disappointment. I recently went and helped him after he had a blowout, but I don't let him back in my life, he said. I can't trust him anymore, and I feel that he would hurt us again. But I'm not going to mistreat him. I think he's lost. I wish he'd get saved. He thinks he's okay with God, but his actions don't show that. The Reverend Taylor, pastor of Central Baptist Church, said there should be a differentiation between the words hate and evil. I may say I hate a certain kind of candy bar, but what I really mean is that I just extremely dislike it, he said. Our hatred should always be directed toward evil because Jesus hated the evil one. If darkness is the absence of light, then hatred is the absence of love. In John 15:18, Taylor noted, Jesus told his disciples that the world hated them because it hated him first. He said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, the pastor said. Jesus chose us out of the world, and therefore the world hates us for being Christians. What we're seeing today is nothing different from what took place in Jesus' time with the religious leaders and Roman leaders. We just have to figure out which side is the most right, and it's not an easy process. We're called on to love, and we need God to guide us. We should never give hurt for hurt. Coleman, not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. When Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel, he meant that he was not embarrassed by the gospel message, nor was he offended by the gospel message. This may seem like an obvious statement coming from an apostle, but rest assured, many people in the first century Rome would have been embarrassed by the gospel or offended by the gospel. Christians would have been tempted to be embarrassed about the counterculture nature of the gospel message, and unbelievers would have easily taken offense at the countercultural nature of Paul's gospel. Our context today is remarkably similar to Paul's. Whereas Paul lived in a pre-Christian pagan society, we live in a post-Christian neo-pagan society. In light of the cultural similarities, we ought to take courage at Paul's insistence that he was not ashamed of the gospel. We dare not take offense at the gospel Paul details in Romans, nor should we be embarrassed to embrace such a countercultural message. Simply put, the believer must not be ashamed of the gospel. Tragically, there are many professing Christians who are offended by and or embarrassed by parts of the gospel message contained in the book of Romans. For starters, some are offended by what Paul said about the depravity of human beings. Paul's summary conclusion is that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. While we tend to talk about good people and nice people, Paul only knew one kind of person, sinful. This surely goes against the gain of our therapeutic, affirming culture. To make matters worse, Paul presented the church in Rome with a sexual ethic that did not fit with Roman sensibilities any more than it now fits with 21st century sensibilities. Additionally, some are offended by the exclusivity of the gospel presented in Romans. Paul's view, Romans chapter 10, was that anyone who believed the gospel would certainly be saved. However, in order to believe the gospel, another human being had to share the gospel. Apart from verbal proclamation of the gospel message, and apart from saving faith, none will be saved. This, of course, was rooted in Paul's understanding of human depravity. Without question, Paul's exclusivist view of salvation offends many in pluralistic, postmodern America. Still, others are offended by Paul's comments about the certainty of sanctification in the life of a Christian. Again, our therapeutic and affirming culture encourages us to embrace who we are on the inside. We are called to follow our hearts and be the best version of ourselves. Paul had a different view of how the gospel impacted our lives. Paul's view of Romans chapter 6 and 7 was that those who were justified by God's grace would also be sanctified by God's grace. Paul's view in Romans 8 was that God's eternal goal in the life of a Christian was to conform each of us to the image of Christ, not just to let us embrace our inner selves. In summary, Christians today need the same resolve Paul had 2,000 years ago. In a world that holds to an anti-Bible, anti-Christian, anti-God worldview, we must have the resolve to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.